Welcome to Digging Deep with Evangelist Paul Acqua of Christ Is All Ministries. Within the sacred texts of the Bible, a timeless and profound message echoes across generations, a message that beckons us to expect God to meet our needs. This belief is not just a theological concept, it's a profound reassurance deeply rooted in the hearts and minds of countless believers. As we delve into the scriptures, we unearth a profound narrative of faith where the Almighty's promise to provide for His children takes center stage. Let's explore the wisdom of the Bible, drawing inspiration from the teachings of Jesus and the testimonies of faithful individuals who've experienced God's provision in remarkable ways in the message titled, Expect God to Meet Your Needs. Together, let's uncover how this expectation of divine care can shape our perspective, strengthen our faith, and lead us toward a deeper, more meaningful relationship with our Creator.
The Bible says in Romans 8:32, and it's a question that Paul is posing to you and me. This is what the verse says. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? So, my friend, let me ask you a few questions based on the text of scripture I have just read. How could it be possible that God would sacrifice his own son for the sake of those who believe in him and then withhold any good thing from those blood-bought believers? Because he purchased us with his precious blood, how could he not just give us everything? Would God do less for believers after they are saved than he did prior to their salvation? That's a question for you and I to answer. Would he do less for his children than he did for his enemies? It's another question. You see, since many Christians have read this verse many times, this Romans 8:32, it's easy for us to take for granted the truth that it contains. Think for a moment about this thought. God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all. God, the righteous judge, has a son, an only son, very precious to him. That son never committed any sin in all he did. He was ever pleasing to his father. Yet on this precious and beloved son, God now pronounces the sentence we deserved. It's a sentence immeasurable in its severity and is carried out in every detail. He, the son, fully bore that horrendous curse. He drank the cup of unspeakable agony to the very last drop. Let me ask you another question. If God's love for us compelled him to give his only son on our behalf, is there anything that he would fail to do for us? That's a logic question. That's a straightforward question. He did the greatest. He gave her the greatest gift. And so that alone should convince you that there is nothing he can withhold from you. He freely gave us his precious son. What would he not give us then? He spared not his son to die a shameful death. So if that hard one had been done, then obviously he is ready to provide. He's ready to give you all things. And that's what the scripture is all about. Just expect that God is ready to give you what you need. Look at Romans chapter 5 verse 6. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. So notice the terms that the Bible used to describe us before the transformation of the new birth. And to explain it further, that means before we were saved or became born again, we were still without strength. We were weak. While we were utterly helpless to bring ourselves to God, he sent his only begotten son to save us. And so this alone should tell you that he will not withhold any good thing from you. He will give you your provision, protect you, continue to save you. You are secured. The Bible reminds us of the greatest manifestation of God's love in all history, perhaps in all eternity. For while we were still helpless at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Christ Jesus, to die for us, notwithstanding the fact that we were ungodly and completely unworthy of his love. We were sinners and he died for us. But God demonstrates his own love for us. In this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's recorded in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. We were enemies and he died for us. We were his enemies and he died for us. For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Hallelujah. That's Romans 5 verse 10. The Lord didn't save us because we deserved it. It was an act of grace. And so he will give us all things. When we were yet his enemies, when we were going about our own business, ignoring God, neglecting his statutes, he still saved us. So what would he then not do for us? My friend, expect that God will grant your needs. So if God loved us enough to die for us when we were weak, when we were ungodly, when we were sinners and enemies, then much more now that we are justified and reconciled, he is willing to provide all our needs. Hallelujah. I think it will be good for us to see what Christ did for us. And so let's go to Hebrews chapter 12, starting from verse 1, and I will read to verse 3. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now look at verse 3. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Christ has done a lot for us. Notice what he did. On the cross, he died just for you and he suffered just for you and me. But let's talk about what he suffered for you. First of all, that suffering did not start on the cross. It actually started when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and just the anguish he went through, knowing that he would become sin and be cut off from his Father from eternity. He did all this for us. He did that for you, and then he went through a trial before the Sanhedrin, and they beat him with their fists. They beat him so mercilessly. They slapped him. They spat in his face. They pulled his beard out, and they did all that for you and me. Jesus allowed that because of you and for you, and then he went before Pilate, and Pilate wanted to wash his hands clean of it, but he knew he couldn't, and so he was forced to hand him over, and so Pilate handed him over. Before Jesus was crucified, he was whipped. Did you know that it was in the morning that Jesus was whipped? I want to give you a reason why I brought this in. And did you know that that morning that Jesus was whipped, it was quite chilly. It was cold that morning. How do you know it was cold that morning? Because it was just a few hours before Peter was warming his hand over a fire of coals. And so it was chilly that morning. I don't know if you have ever had something hit your skin when you are cold. How much more sensitive your skin is. Well, it was in the morning where he would be whipped. And I guarantee you that morning that Satan had the two best floggers in the Roman government ready to beat Jesus, to whip him. the strongest ready to do what they were going to do to Jesus that morning. He was whipped over and over and over again. Maybe you think he just took 40 stripes. No, 40 stripes, that was for Jewish punishment. For the Romans' punishment, they will whip you until they are tired or until you died. And so at the end of this whip were fragments of bone, of metal, and of glass. Jesus suffered so much for us. And so if he has suffered like that for his enemies, then what else would he would hold from us? What else would he not do for us? They whip his back over and over again. Why? Because he loved you so much. He loved you. He took it for you. Then he had to carry his own cross across that back that has been opened and fallen down many times. Finally, he could not get back up again. And someone had to carry that cross for him. Then he went to Mount Calvary. I want you to see this picture that if he suffered all this for you when we were even his enemies, and now that we are saved, what would he not do for us? My friend, expect that God would meet your needs. Then he went to Mount Calvary and he stretched his arms and spikes were driven through his wrist. These are the most painful nerve endings in your body. Spike was driven through his feet and he hung there on the tree. And not only that, he hung there in front of multitude, absolutely with no clothes on at all. And he did it for you and me to show his love for you. He gave it all for us. What else would he not do for us, my friend? Expect that God will meet all your needs. God will meet your needs. On the cross, he shouted with a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? The physical suffering wasn't really the bad part. But I'm telling you, it was what was happening in the spiritual realm. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. It says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Jesus bore our sins in his own body on the tree. All our sins were put on the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The sins that you think weren't much, and the sins that you are shameful about, all these were put on Jesus Christ. The Bible goes on to say that by whose stripes we were healed. So he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? That's the question. God wants to demonstrate to you today his love. He wants to demonstrate to you that he wants to heal you. He wants that financial need to be met, but it's going to flow from the cross where his blood paid for it. And so if you want to experience the love of God, go back to the cross. If you want to experience the love of God, then look onto the cross. Look at what he did for you. Know his heart. God loves us so much. Do you think Jesus went through all that and he's going to withhold anything from you? Do you think after all the suffering he endured on the cross, he would hold anything back from you? Not at all. He would meet your needs. Expect that God is ready to meet your need. God's heart is for us. Go back to the cross because God wants you to have a fresh demonstration of his love. If you really, really think about the cross, what he has done for us, then you will not lose faith. You will trust the Lord that if he has done the harder thing for you, just meeting your needs is so, so, so easy. And so if you have not received this gift of salvation, what Christ endured for you, then that is the wrong decision you have taken. But you can rectify that. You can think about why he came to die for us and receive this gift of salvation. And if you will, you may pray this prayer after me, saying every word from your heart. Say, dear Lord, I recognize that I am a sinner and need to be saved. I understand that Jesus died in my place and suffered all the judgment of my sins. I believe that Jesus rose from the dead and he is at the right hand of the Father. Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you. Come and live in my heart and be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on Digging Deep with Evangelist Paul Acqua. If you enjoyed today's message, be sure to tell a friend. Also, make sure you never miss an episode. If you have any prayer request, you can contact us at +44 787 945 6907. You can also visit www.ciamint.com for more resources to help you dig deeper into your Christian life. Christ is All Ministries, sharing Christ, changing lives.